Well, the good and bad of interest rates. Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon, this is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, if you got a question for me, I want to invite you to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. There is a section called the Ask Bob section, and there's an email. You can send your questions that way. If it's an easy question that doesn't require a whole lot of emails, then by all means use that. If not, book some time on my calendar, and we can have a phone conference. There's no cost, no obligations to that. It's just there as a resource for you to make sure that you have you can get some of your questions answered. That's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. One of the things I've been thinking a lot about lately is that it's been a while since we have had a webinar. And so I got to thinking, what would be the best use of your time for me to put a webinar together? What would be the best use of your time? Because we're typically doing it in the middle of the day around lunchtime. And I know that sometimes you're even with the best intentions that you set some time aside to get some education and figure out what's happening with your investments. There's just sometimes where it's just the best of intentions and you can't make it. So we want to make sure this is a really good use of your time, because we realize if you are allocating it, you look at it as good use of your time as well. And one of the things that I want to focus on with this webinar is an extremely simple concept, but it's got a lot of layers to it. And I think that if you can understand how to utilize this concept and how to and it helps you manage risk and it helps you take risks, then you'll get so much better results. We'll put you in a position to get better results, and we'll teach you a lot about risk and how your funds work. So we're putting that together and should be rolling that out at some point next week and getting a date and time. So look beyond the look for that. One of the things I wanted to kind of tie up on some loose ends today was our program about interest rates. And that's really been the single biggest problem. And we've been covering some things throughout the last couple of months. But today I wanted to tie it all together. We talked a couple of days ago, we talked a little bit about the problems that could come around with transferring balances from one credit card to another. And the one point that I was wanting to make on that is that right now you could be paying 17-18% interest rates, and sure, you're going to get 0% for 21 months. I think that's the best deal going right now. But it's, what will your interest rate be on the other side of that? We saw one the other day as well from American Express, who have a loan-based program. You know, most of theirs, you just pay it off by the month, but they have a loan-based program as well that is 25% plus prime, the prime rate. So, actually, that was the penalty rate. The actual credit card rate was in the mid-20s. The penalty rate, meaning that if you missed a couple of, if you were late with a couple of payments, puts you up to 32 or 33%. So that is definitely a negative when it comes to what's happening in interest rates. So you want to be careful that you don't get yourself for what looks like a benefit. And remember, credit card companies are all about optics, and they're making a lot of money off of the interest rates being where they are. And as I've said in the past, it's going to be interesting to see if the consumer gets to a point and says, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I'm going to walk away from the credit card and let it default. Not wishing that, not hoping that happens, just not predicting it happens. I'm just wondering if it will happen, because you can only do so much when you got X amount of dollars coming in, higher prices across the board, and then you've got this, you know, this 32-31% interest rate on a credit card that you're paying. It's there comes a point where you have to choose. If you can't make it all work, you know, am I going to feed my family or am I going to pay my American Express card? Now, I'm not, once again, I want to be real careful about what I'm saying. I'm not saying to go do that and that's what you should do. I'm just saying I wonder if America in general will do that. And you just got to know, boy, if you do that, there is a lot of downsides to that decision. So, you know, one of the things that I've always said is that even if it's just, you know, if you can look at credit card debt as a season in your life, then you can work those extra five to 10 hours a week to make more money to pay out down on the interest rate. Maybe you're on the debt. Maybe you're doing that for a couple of years. A couple of years could get you completely out of debt. That would be worth it. So just kind of keep it all in a perspective. Interestingly enough, the 0% for 21 months, and I've always thought that these were just full of gotchas. The 0% for 21 months is our friends at Wells Fargo. They have this credit card. Now, keep in mind, and you know the stories of Wells Fargo, and we've talked about it, and of course, it's been all over the news over the past 5 or 6 years, the various things that they've done, things they've done against their customers and just all kinds of things, unethical, fraudulent, in my opinion, some of the things, and of course, escaped to all those different situations with just a fine. So maybe the reputation is not too good, so even then I would even be more careful because they can change that 0% for 21 months. They can change your payment. They can change your interest rate. They can change your credit limit. There's a document called a consumer agreement where you get all the fine print. And as I said, that always gets sent out separate from everything else. You've probably already put something on the credit card at the point that you've received that consumer agreement, which it talks about all of the different pieces of fine print and what they can do. And, you know, I've said this many times, but it's so true, is that credit card agreements are the worst consumer contract that you can sign, bar none. There's not another document in the world that will say, we can change this, we can change that, just because we want to, just because of this. And most credit card agreements are like that now. One of the things that I found very disturbing as I looked through the information in this agreement is they used to, when I say used to, I mean as of last year, they would put, if you fail to do this, your interest rate would climb from this to this. So they disclosed interest rates and where they would go. There was not anywhere any interest rates, penalty rates, or anything in the document. So you don't know what you're signing up for. That's the first that I've seen like that. And of course, that's Wells Fargo. So just keep all of that in mind as you look at, wow, I can get a 0% for 21 months, and maybe it's not just so great as it seems, and probably you're going to end up with higher rates on the other side. So just keep that in mind. Now, for a positive situation when it comes to interest rates in this environment, and of course, this is something that I don't think is widely advertised. We've been trying to talk about it on Prudent Money throughout the last couple of years, just so that you're aware of this. But because of the high interest rates, you're getting somewhere between 5 and 5.25% on your money market accounts and your brokerage accounts. Now, let me explain what all that means. If we divided it all up and we looked at checking accounts, which could get minimal interest paid to them, savings account, which probably you might see 1 or 2% interest rate on, And then money market accounts, which is where you're seeing the highest interest rates paid. And to one of the questions that came up was, okay, you talked about it, where brokerage houses, but what do you mean by that? Investment companies such as a Fidelity, a Vanguard, Charles Schwab, they're going to have these money market accounts that will pay higher interest rates, or at least they have had that be the case. Now, you also have to know that they're trying to figure out ways to get beyond having to pay some of those interest rates as well. So keep it's important that you keep an eye on what they're doing with those programs. But just know that is a real thing. And the thing that we're talking about allocations the other, just a little bit ago, how you allocate your money in a 401k plan. Well, there's really only two places to allocate money. There's bonds and there's stocks, and that's it. And on the bond side of the equation, you're looking at losses in certain times because as interest rates go up, bond prices go down. So there's a degree of risk, of course, with bonds, just like there's a degree of risk with stocks. I would argue, of course, stocks are a little bit higher degree of risk than bonds, but still there's a degree of risk. You could always use a money market account. Not advice. Please don't take it that way. Just an idea. You could always use a money market account as a replacement on the bond side, or maybe as part of your bond investments. So let's say that you have 50% in stocks and 50% in bonds, and let's say you have 25% of the bonds in money market accounts and 25% in regular bond index funds or something like that, but they can serve that purpose. We'll get back to that in just a second. This is Bob Brooks. We are up against a break. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bob Brooks, host of the Prudent Money Radio Show. You know, marriage and money can be a toxic combination. The best way to avoid arguments over money is to practice this principle: show grace unless you are perfect. We all make financial mistakes. Treat your spouse with grace and love versus making them wrong and yourself right. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, the home of the modern day steward movement.
This is Rob Randall, your host and teacher of the Invisible War radio program. The Invisible War is the study of God's Word on how to walk in Christ's victory in the spiritual battles we face against the powers of darkness. Join me every Sunday morning at 9, right here on KDKR and KYJC in Commerce, your station for life.
Hi, I'm Jill Taylor, inviting you to join me each Saturday morning at 11 o'clock for Choose Life Radio. You'll hear people from across America sharing their stories of faith, forgiveness, redemption, and restoration. Choose Life Radio will encourage you to fully appreciate the gift of life. You may also find help for you or a friend in need. So please join me Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock right here on Bible School Radio 91.3.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. If you got a question for me, go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. Send that question in, and I will get that question answered. If it's a little bit more of a detailed, complex situation, you need a little bit more time, book some time on my calendar, and we will have a phone conference and talk through it. There's no cost. There's no strings attached. It's just a way for us to get information to you and keep what you need to understand in front of you, and so that you can make good decisions when it comes to money. So that's off the website, www.prudentmoney.com. Talking about money market accounts, and those are the accounts you'll find at a Fidelity, you'll find it at a Charles Schwab, that type of an account, and they are typically paying the highest rates. Now, is it always a good thing to pay the highest rates? I mentioned this the other day. I'll mention it again. New York Common Bank, I think the C is for common, NYCB, is, or at least it was last week, is the highest paying, they're paying the highest rate of interest on their money market accounts and savings accounts. And it is a bank that, had it not been for a group of investors who pumped $1 billion into it, it would have gone under and gone in, potentially gone into forfeiture. And the bank was in trouble. They were losing deposits, losing assets. And then they've got this infusion of cash and capital. And that's not a place I would want to put my money. I don't generally give advice on the program because there's too many. Everybody that's listening to me has got their own situation. Just know, I don't think it's a great idea to put money into a bank that, because someone infused some cash into it, it saved them, because that can be only on a temporary basis. And it just doesn't seem like really good advice to me. So be really careful about that. And that's kind of the tricky part of making decisions, because most people are not keeping up with this and wouldn't know that. I just remember I've been following NYCB ever since they almost went under, just as a kind of a proxy for how the banking industry is looking. So be careful with whoever you're going to go put money with. You know that probably a Fidelity's okay, probably a Charles Schwab's okay. That's not advice. Once again, it's just that you haven't really heard anything. It would be a big surprise. A regional bank going under would not be a big surprise. Now, some of the good, some of the bad with higher interest rates, and it comes in the annuity market. Now, the good news, and you're going to say, well, where's the bad news if this is the good news? The good news is that annuities are turning into be a great place, and have been a great place over the past couple of years, to put fixed CD-like money. They're, at least to date, you're finding your higher interest rates being paid out and longer interest rates paid out, meaning number of years for the guarantee, in fixed annuities, which is a great thing, great situation, because it works just like a CD. It's a guaranteed rate, and they're paying better than CDs are paying. And of course, they're also paying, like I said, longer terms. You can get them up to a lock into a really good rate for up to 10 years. Having said that, this brings out a lot more of your aggressive marketing, some of what I would call irresponsible marketing, because there's all types of complex or annuities that are complex. Let me say it that way. Those have a lot of moving parts. The annuities that pay income, you got to make sure that you know what you're doing with that. And so what ends up happening is, and I heard this on the radio just the other day, and I want to read it to you just so that you can be aware of this type of thing and kind of know what it is when you hear it. It's on a local sports channel, and this advisor group does a lot of marketing. And they open up by saying, basically, there's only a few places that you can get this particular type of annuity, and because most they act as if they're exclusive, which is probably not the case, because most annuities can be signed. You can sign up to be able to represent them pretty easily as an advisor. Now, they said, where can you get 30% bonus and then a 12% bonus on income? Now, I don't know if you've done the math on that, but that's 42% up front in bonuses. Show me where I can sign up. I have a little bit of an issue with that, just because that could be very misleading. I will say this company does it a little bit better. They're not overly aggressive with those rates and the way they're paid and that kind of thing. But still, the lead-in marketing pitch is 30% bonus, 12% income, And you need to know that there's a little bit more of the story than just that. In other words, you're not going to walk away with a 30% bonus and a good, strong return at the end of the time period. Probably not. You know, the thing about it is all these annuities are doing about the same thing, some better than others. Some are constructed a lot better for the consumer. Most of them are constructed more so for the insurance company that writes them. So you just got to be careful. Got to know the limitations, and you need to know exactly what those bonuses mean. Typically, if they're giving big bonuses out, you are paying it somewhere else. So just make sure that you are aware of that. Let's talk a little bit about real estate, because that, of course, has been a real problem. And through the couple of years, I've had real estate experts on the program, and just kind of walking through this journey with them, because I always get an update on what they're seeing, what's going on in the real estate industry. And it's, you know, I think that we would have all thought that things would have picked back up to the degree, not to the degree that they were before everything, interest rates really started going up. And housing was, you know, there was a bidding war every time you put something, a listing out there. But it's still barely, from what I understand, is that it's not by any stretch shut down, but it's a lot slower than it has been. And a lot of it has to do with interest rates. Once again, interest rates being kind of the culprit. 7.24% was Tuesday's 30-year mortgage rate, 7.24%. And this is what we want to keep our eye on, because as this climbs, and so far it's been the sevens and the sixes, which is good, and there's really no indication that the Federal Reserve Board will raise interest rates. I just don't think they're going to cut interest rates. It's going to kind of stick around in this kind of back and forth between 7% and 6%. But new home construction. Now, remember, this is a supply and demand issue. It's a supply issue, meaning there's not very many homes available for sale. It's a demand that there's a lot of demand for homes. But you got to keep in mind, demand at a lower interest rate. So at 7.24%, it was the 30-year interest rate a couple of days ago. And like I said, the higher that gets, the more so people will back out and not and maybe wait to see what ends up happening. But new home construction post biggest drop in four, this is the headline, biggest drop in 4 years despite America facing a housing shortage. Said another way, builders are not starting new home construction. They're not doing the level, even though if you look at it on paper, with the demand for housing, it should be a no-brainer. They should be able to build something and people will buy it. Demand's there, but at a different, and think about this for a second this way. The demand is there, but it's demand at lower interest rates. I mean, you drop interest rates back to the mid to low fives, and you would have a boom period probably accelerate back into the mortgage, into the real estate markets. But at in the sevens, it's not, the demand is not as great. It's still demand, which thankful for, but not as great as demand. And then, in addition to that statistic that came out, the next one is rents have finally stopped skyrocketing. That's the good news. However, the bad news is they're now stuck at a price most Americans can't afford. So I know it's good and bad, but the good is that they're not still continuing to climb. That's a good thing. But as they start to build up supply in their industry, where people are not going to, they're going to price shop, I think that you're going to start seeing rental prices starting to be forced down. But the article is right, though, they are stuck, you know, in this at this price level that people just can't afford. So I think just supply and demand right there, where the demand will start to wither quite a bit, that they will figure out that, hey, we need to lower these rental prices and get people moved in. So that could be some very good news, and I know that the rent prices, boy, they're tough to adjust to. But hopefully this is a good sign, and we'll start to see that coming down. And hopefully you will not see interest rates go up too much above 7%. And maybe getting the real estate markets going again. This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.